Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir, Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Yomid. Says the Mishnah, Taglachas Tahara Ketzad, a Nazir who had fulfilled his Naziris properly, and now he comes to complete his Naziris, what is the procedure? Says the Mishnah, maybe Gimel Behemoth, he would bring three animals, Chatas Oilu V'Shlomim. He brings an animal for Kavan Chatas, an animal for Kavan Oilu, an animal for Kavan Shlomim. Farshim discuss, why does the Nazir, as he completes his Naziris, required to bring a Kavan Chatas? The simple pshat is the pshat that we have discussed many times. The Gemara says, Rebeleza Kfar Oimer, that a Nazir is considered a Balavera, Shetzir Atzmai Min Hayayin, because he withheld himself from wine, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu permits us to drink. Other Mefarshim, I saw the Rabbeinu Bechaya, quotes a Ramban, who explains, a Nazir represents a person who has attained a certain level of Kedusha. He's a Nazir. He's attained that level. And now when this person who has attained this level releases himself, ends his Naziris, that represents an Aveira. That represents, why are you leaving this level? And therefore he has to bring a Karmel Chatas. The Meshech Chachma explains, as we have learned and will continue learning, Emir Tz Hashem, a Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei to any, even to the closest relative, when they pass away. Only to a Meis Mitzvah may a Nazir become Tamei. And therefore, says the Meshech Chachma, a Nazir must bring the carbon because he separated himself from his relatives, and therefore he has to bring Kabanis. The Shaychet, says the Mishnah, as a Shlomim, he brings the Shlomim umagalayich alayhem, and he shaves his head after bringing the carbon. Shlomim de Rebbe Yehuda. And here we have a fundamental machloikis between Tosfos and the Rambam, exactly what happened. Tosfos learns that the first carbon the Nazir brought was the Shlomim, even though typically when one has to bring a series of Kabbonis, the carbon Shlomim is not the first carbon one brings. Here the first carbon he brings is the carbon Shlomim, and after bringing the carbon Shlomim, he shaves his head here. There's machloikis rishonim. At what point, after bringing the carbon shlomim, does he shave his head? On some rishonim say that it's after the shchita. Others say it's after the zrikas hadam. So Tosfos says he brings the carbon shlomim first and shaves his hair. Although Tosfos himself and other mefarshim ask that if that's the case, then the wording of the Mishnah is somewhat difficult to understand, because the Mishnah says Chatos Oilu V'Shlomim. Here it seems that the Chatos is brought first. So Mefarshim explain that the Mishnah mentions the Karmel Chatos first, for although the first carbon that the Nazir brings is the carbon Shlomim, the first animal that he's magdish, that he designates as a carbon, he designates first the Chatos, then the Oila, and then the Shlomim. However, the Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam says that the Nazir follows the order that's mentioned in the Mishnah. He brings the Chatos first, and then an Oila, and then a Shlomim. Only after he brings the Shlomim, the third carbon, does he, according to Rabbi Yehuda, shave his hair. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. He says, he shaves his hair only after bringing the Karmel Chatas. Shachatas kodemus b'kamakoyim, because the Karmel Chatas is always the first carbon that's brought. So as the Rishonim explained, according to Rabbi Lezer, everybody agrees. He brings the Karmel Chatas first. After bringing that Karmel Chatas, he shaves his hair. And after he shaves his hair, can he continue with bringing the other karbonis? Mefarshim also discuss that why does the Mishnah mention Shachatas Kodemus B'Kamokai, that whenever one has to bring a series of Kabonis, he brings the Karmachatas first. Why couldn't the Mishnah have just have said that since the Torah mentions the Karmachatas first, the Karmachatas that a Nazir brings first, obviously that's the carbon that he should bring first? Answer the Mefarshim. As we will learn later in our shir, since the halacha is that the gravy of the carbon shlamim is mixed together with the hair of the nazir and used under the fire that's cooking that carbon shlamim, so therefore I would assume that the carbon chatos should be the carbon shlamim should be the carbon that everybody would agree is the carbon by which the nazir shaves his head. That's what the Mishnah says. Shechatus kodemus b'kamokim, tells us Rebbe Elazar. That's why that's the first carbon that's brought, and that's the carbon on which the nazir shaves his hair. It's interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch, when discussing the halachas of saying kabonis every day before davening, mentions that the carbon oila, the parasha of oila, should be mentioned first. Even though the minig in most communities actually is that the carbon chatos is mentioned first, based on what we just learned in our Mishnah, shachatos kodemus b'kamokim, the chatos always takes precedence. But the Magen Avraham asks, how could the Shulchan Aruch say that the carbon oila, the parasha of the carbon oila, should be mentioned first, if we just learned in our Mishnah, shachatos kodemus b'kamokim, the carbon chatos always comes first? So the Magen Avraham answers, since nowadays we are not really being mekayim the mitzvah of kabbonis properly, we're only saying and learning the parasha of kabbonis, but we're not actually bringing the kabbonis, says the Magen Avraham, the closest carbon that we have nowadays to the way it was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash is the carbon oila. For even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, the carbon oila was the carbon that was completely burnt. There was no portion that was eaten from the carbon oila. So yes, now we're not actually makriv the carbon oila today, but we're not missing any portion that would have been eaten. However, the carbon chatos, besides the actual hakrava, which unfortunately we cannot do nowadays, there is also the eating, which can't be done. And therefore, the carbon oil is closest to what it was in the times of Beis HaMikdash, and that's why it should be the first carbon mentioned. And in fact, he explains that the Torah says, Zois Torah Sa'oila, Hi Ha'oila. When the Torah speaks about the parashas Chatos, it doesn't say, Zois Torah HaChatos, Hi HaChatos. To teach us, Zois Tyrus Oila. We know that Rashi, the Gemara says, Zois Tyrus Oila, Kala Isaac Matyrus Oila, is Kilu Hikriv Oila, is Zois Tyrus Oila. By learning the Parashas Oila, we're very close to Hiho Oila, to be Mekayim the Parashas Oila. That is not the case by any of the other Kabbonis. However, says the Mishnah, Vim Gilach Al Achas Mishloshtim, if somebody shaved his hair only after bringing one of the other of any of the karbonis, yotze, he has been mekayim the mitzvah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Hevi Gimel Behemus V'loy Pirish. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, normally when one brings a carbon, he has to specify, when one designates an animal, he has to specify for what carbon he intends to use that animal. However, when a nazir separates animals, even though he did not specifically designate which animal is going to be used for which carbon, itself understood which animal will be used for which carbon. Harui l'chatos, the animal which is fit to be used for carbon chatos, tikrav chatos, which is the animal that's used for carbon chatos, a kivsa, which is a year old. Lo'oila, the animal that's used for carbon oila, will be used for carbon oila. Which is that? Keves, a male keves, that's a year old. And Arui l'shlamim, the animal which is fit to be used for carbon shlamim, tikru shlamim, that's an ayol which is 2 years old. Says the Gemara. Now Gemara is now going to analyze how we know, how Rabbi Yehuda knows, that it's the carbon shlamim on which one shaves his hair after bringing the carbon shlamim. Because the pasuk says the Gemara, the gilach hanazir pesach oil moyed, that the nazir shaves his hair at the entrance to the oil moyed. Says the Gemara, b'shlamah kos medaber. This pasuk is referring to carbon shlamim, because the carbon shlamim is the carbon that the words pesach oil moyed is most appropriate to be used. Shenemar, because the pasuk says regarding the shechita of a carbon shlamim, ushchotoy pesach oil moyed. So when the pasuk uses the word pesach oil moyed, it's another way of saying carbon shlamim. Ask the Gemara at the oimim b'shlamim kos medaber. Ask the Brice itself. Is it to be understood that the pasuk is coming to teach us that we shech the carbon, we shave the nozzles here after bringing the carbon shlamim, or perhaps we should understand the pasuk as the words of the pasuk imply? Perhaps the way to understand the pasuk is as it reads, that the nazir should shave his hair at the opening of the oil moyed. Amrit, says the Gemara, that can't be pshat in the pasuk, because in kein derech b'zayinu, it's an embarrassing thing. It's not proper. It's degrading to shave in the opening of the oil moyed. Machlokes Rishonim, exactly what area are we referring to? Doesn't mean at the entrance of the oil moyed. It's particularly degrading to shave one's hair. Doesn't mean the entire azara. There's another machlokes. What is the actual bezoyin? Is it the hair cutting, or is it the fact that when one has his hair cut, he has to sit with his hair uncovered, which is certainly inappropriate way to sit in the Pesach Oil Moed? Rabbi Yoshua Eimer, ain't it tzarech. Rabbi Yoshua said there's another way of understanding that certainly the haircut cannot take place at the Pesach Oil Moed. Says Rabbi Yoshua, Harei Omra Torah, if the Torah says, Lo Salo B'malois Al Mizbechi, the Torah says the steps should not be constructed in order to reach the Mizbeach, rather a ramp. Why? Because when one walks up steps, he has to take wider move steps than when walking up a ramp. Says the Gemara, the Kohen who's walking up the steps or the ramp to the Mizbeach is wearing pants, so his private parts are not exposed to the Mizbeach. Yet still, the Torah is so sensitive to the Bezoyin of the Mokam HaMikdash and says, therefore, build a ramp. Don't use stamps. It's less degrading. Certainly, Kavah Chaimla Derek Bezoyin, to take a haircut at the Pesach Oil Moyed, is certainly considered degrading. Most Mefarshim point out that the next words of the Gemara, which are in brackets, really aren't part of the Gemara. It was something that was written by a Talmud that entered into the Gemara. But it is as our custom that we do learn words that are in brackets, not words that are in parentheses. We will read these words quickly. Nusach acha b'medrash b'pasha nosoi, v'goy shem b'shlam ha'kos medaber, v'yena imkach amr tar le'sala, kavachoyim l'odov v'shloi gal, pesach ha'moyd, v'shlam ha'kos medaber. Explain the Mefarshim. We are not to understand that Reb Oshia is arguing with the Tanna Kama. They're both saying the same thing, that the pasuk that says the gilach hanozer pesach oil moed does not come to mean that the haircut is done at the pesach oil moed. Just the Tanna Kama understood this from a svara. It was logical to him that we wouldn't give a haircut to a nozer at the pesach oil moed. Says Reb Oshia, when we're dealing with a svara, logic could always be debated. Therefore, says Rabbi Yishya, don't just rely on a svara. I bring you a kavachomer to prove that a nazir should not shave his hair at the Pesach oil ma'id. The Steichemed uses this gemara to discuss a shaila. The minig in many communities is that one doesn't give a child a haircut until he's a male child a haircut until he's 3 years old, based on the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, "Veraltem esarosa es pirah shol shonim." That even though the pasuk is referring to a fruit tree, as we know, and the pasuk is teaching us that the fruit that grows the first 3 years is forbidden to be eaten, but they also explain that the first 3 years a child's hair is not cut, and then when the haircut does take place, when the child is 3 years old, they make a party. Says the Steichemed, there was a custom that many times they went to the shuls to make this first haircut. He says, Al Gemara seems to be saying that giving a haircut is considered a bezoyin, and therefore the Steichemed says it should not take place in a shul. And in fact, the Leif Chaim, Rav Chaim Pelagi, says that he holds that this haircut should not be done in the shul. However, I did see the Paiskim mention two reasons why this haircut may take place in a shul. One reason I saw is that this haircut represents a mitzvah. When the child has his hair cut by 3 years old, we leave him payis, as we've learned the mitzvahs. So many mitzvahs are involved, so many loisaseis are involved in leaving payis, loisakifa pas roishchem. So it's an occasion of simcha that we're able to help this child begin to fulfill this very important mitzvah. Furthermore, explained the Paiskim, as we will learn later in our shir, Mitzvah Hashem, there were a number of lishkais, there were a number of chambers in the Azara. One of the lishkais was the lishkais ha-nazirim, where the nazirim would prepare their korban shlomim. According to some shittas, that's where they would take the haircut. So we see that it wasn't that they didn't take a haircut in the Beis HaMikdash compound. They just, says the Gemara, didn't take the haircut in the Azara. And therefore, there are different levels of Kedusha. The Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, which represents the highest level of Kedusha, that's not the place to take a haircut. But the other areas, even though they're in the Beis HaMikdash compound, you may take a haircut. Similarly, a shul doesn't represent the same level of the Beis HaMikdash. It maybe only represents the same level of Kedusha as the Lishkas HaNazirim, and therefore a haircut could take place there. Another explanation, says the Gemara, how we know that the haircut cannot take place in the Azara. It's obvious that the haircut cannot take place in the Azara. For the Pasuk says, Omar, the Pasuk says, Harei Oimer, the Pasuk says, V'lokach asar roish nizroi, he should take his hair, V'nosan al eish, and he should put it on the fire. Says the Gemara, taking a haircut, what the Pasuk is saying is that right after the haircut is done, they should shave, they should immediately put it in the fire. Yotzezeh, if the haircut were to be given in the Azara, it would require taking the hair from the Azara to wherever it should be, with whoever the shlom will be cooked and the hair will be thrown into that fire. Ask the Rosh the obvious question. So perhaps the fire that they have under the carbon shlomim, that they're going to throw the hair into that fire, should be also in the Azara, and there won't be any interruption between the haircut and the fire and taking it to the fire. According to Tosfos, this question is really not a question, because according to Tosfos, since the halacha is that the meat of the korban shlomim was allowed to be eaten anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim, and therefore that's where it was cooked, and that's where the nazir has to take the hair, so therefore it would involve carrying it from the Azara to the fire in the city of Yerushalayim, which is an interruption that the pasuk says is not permitted. But the Rosh obviously held that the hair, the carbon shlomim and the hair were burnt somewhere in the Azara. So why is it considered an interruption? And therefore, Rosh's question is very appropriate. Why don't we say that the hair cooking also took place in the Azara? So I sort of mafarshim explain that even according to the Rosh, that the hair was burnt in the base of Mikdash compound in the Azara, it's certainly inappropriate that it should be burnt in the Azara when it could be burnt in the Lishkas Hanazirim that we mentioned earlier. And therefore, it would involve an interruption of taking the hair to the Lishkas Hanazirim, which is inappropriate, which is an interruption which the Pasuk doesn't allow. I saw the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara says in Masechta Gittin on Daf Chof Aleph, that one should not write a get on a tree which is still connected to the ground and then cut the tree and give it to his wife as a get, because the Torah says the kasa of a nason, there should be no interruption between the writing of the get and the giving of the get. But if what from the Gemara of Masechta Gittin, it's very obvious that if one wrote a get, and that's the halacha, if one wrote a get in one location even though his wife is not present in that location, and he carries the get to where his wife is, it's 100% acceptable. Ask Mefarshim why. Al Gemara just explained that the carrying of the hair is considered an interruption, so too the carrying of the get ought to be an interruption. Answers the Shas HaTshuvas Oinig Yontif. That carrying, that in the case of the get, one wrote the get in a place where his wife is not present. That was a practical situation, that his wife wasn't present at the location where the get was written. She could have been there, she just wasn't there. Therefore, the carrying of it, of the get, from where he wrote it to where his wife is not considered interruption. Here, however, as we explained, the carrying of the hair to where the fire is required. The fire can't be where the hair was cut if we would say that the hair ought to be cut in the Azara. Therefore, it's considered an interruption because there must be this hefsek, and that's why it's unacceptable. Ikadamri, others explain, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, a different way of explaining what Rabbi Yitzchak said, B'shlom makos medaber. The pasuk is referring to the carbon shlomim. At the Oymer b'shlom akos medaber, do we say that the pasuk is referring to Kabbim Shlomim, that to teach us that the hair is cut after the Kabbim Shlomim is brought? Or Yena Ela Pesach Oil Moed Mamish? Perhaps the pasuk is teaching us that the hair should be cut at the Pesach Oil Moed. Tamaloymer v'lokach esar roish nizroi makim shay mevasho shamay megaleich. The place where he cooks the carbon, that's where he cuts. The Gra deletes this Ikad Amri from the Gemara, because the Gra says that throughout Shas, when we find an Ikad Amri, the Ikad Amri means to explain it in a different way. But the Gra says there is no difference between the first version of what Rabbi Yitzchak said and this Ikad Amri version of what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, and since there's no difference, it should be deleted. Obviously, our Gemara does keep it. I saw that the Mefarshim tried to say that there is a difference between the two Lashonos in the name of the Brisker Rav, that according to the first explanation, there the halacha would be that you would have to cut your hair and bring the carbon at the exact same spot, because an interruption is not permitted. According to the second explanation, it's not as required, and therefore it's mutter. Says the Rosh, the next explanations that the Gemara are going to give in this pasuk represent the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer in our Mishnah said that the carbon after which the Nazir shaves his head, his hair, is a carbon chatos. If so, we don't need the pasuk of Vegila Chanozer Pesach Oil Moyed to teach us that's the carbon shlomim, that's the carbon after which the Nazir shaves his head. So what do we use this pasuk to teach us? Abchanan Oimer Mishum Rabbi Elazar Vegila Chanozer Pesach Oil Moyed to teach us calls man shein Pesach Oil Moyed Pesuach, as long as the door of the base of Migdash of the Azar wasn't open, it's inappropriate to shave his head. However, the Mefarshim explain, Mechitzchinach, Chaznish say that b'di'evid, if he did shave his hair before the opening of the gates of the Azara, it would be acceptable. If Shimon Shazuri Aymer, the pasuk is teaching us a different limud. The Gilach HaNazir Pesach Oil Moed, to teach us that a Nazir has to shave his head, v'loy Nazira. But a Nazira does not have to shave her head at all. Why? Shem Yizgaraba Perchikuna. Because there are young Kohanim there, and if they will see the hair of the Nazira exposed, it's inappropriate, it's a lack of tznius, and therefore the Torah is telling us she doesn't have her hair shaved. It's Machloitis Rishonim. What does this mean? Taisa says that it means that she doesn't have her hair shaved in the Azara, but she does have her hair shaved in her home, in the privacy of her home. The Rosh, however, explains that according to Shimon Shazuri, there is no obligation for a Nazira to have her hair shaved. Amaloi, so they asked on Rav Shimon Shazuri, L'dverecha saita tachiyach. The halacha is a saita, a woman who was accused of adultery, after she goes through certain process, certain steps, is brought to the Azara, where a certain parasha is written on the cloth, it's dissolved, and it's given to her to drink, and the pasuk goes through an entire, the Gemara we're going to learn soon, Mitzshem, Mesechta Saita, goes through the entire procedure that she undergoes, which all is done in the Azara, where her hair is exposed, part of her body is exposed, and the Ksiba, V'amadata l'fnei Hashem. This all is done in the Azara. V'loi chashinin shem yizgro perchikona. And we don't find that we're concerned that there's a lack of tznius. We're worried about these young kohanim. Amalahen. So Rav Shimon Shazuri responded. Zuko chelos apokesis. The Nazira is allowed to put on cosmetics. She's allowed to put on makeup. So she looks pretty. There we're concerned shem yizgro perchikona. Have a zoo, the saita, has to be benevula, she has to be degraded, and eno kachelos bakasas, and therefore we're not concerned about the pirchei kahuna. Mefarshim point out that we're used to understanding that this concept of making gedarim, this concept of adding fences to make sure that an aveira is not done, is all midrabanan. Here, say the Mefarshim, we see that even the Torah applies such a procedure. And that's why the Torah here, because of its concern, says don't have the Nazira's hair certainly cut in the Azara, because we're concerned Shema Yizgraba Pirchei Kahuna. Ask the Mefarshim, the halacha is that a Metzaira, both a female or a male, we've learned earlier, had to have all of the hair on their body shaved, even the pair hair in the private areas. So ask the Mefarshim, here we're concerned about the Perchei Kahuna seeing the hair of the Nazir exposed. Why are we not concerned when the Kohen shaves all the hair on the female Metzaira's body, that he's going to see parts of her body which are supposed to be covered? So Mefarshim explained, beautiful pshat, we are not concerned about the Kohen who's doing his Avodah. The Kohen who will be shaving the hair of the Nazira, the Kohen who's shaving the hair of the female Metzaira, is doing a mitzvah. And while someone is doing a mitzvah, he has a shmirah, he's watched that nothing, that he will not come to have improper thoughts or do the improper thing. Our concern is about the other people who are not involved in doing the mitzvah. and therefore don't have the shmira of the mitzvah to watch them. Shemi yizgrib apirchi kuhuna is not the kohen who's shaving the nazir's hair. It's the kohen who's in the azara that we're worried about. The mitzvah, however, is here, is shaved in the privacy of her home, and therefore we don't have to worry about the other people, and we don't have to worry about the kohen who's shaving her hair. He has the schus of the mitzvah to watch him. Mefarshim ask, the pasuk says, "V'gil chanoza pesach ha'el moed." We have just finished learning the sugya Baruch Hashem in the Gemara that clearly teaches us very number of different interpretation, but clearly teaches us not to take the pasuk literally. So the question is, if the pasuk is certainly not to be taken literally, why did the pasuk say this in this words? Whatever halacha we learn, whether it's the halacha that the nazira doesn't take a haircut, or the halacha that the nazir cuts his hair after he offers the korban shlamim, why did the Torah say it in a very different way, using the words "v'gil ha'nazir pesach ha'el moed"? Answer the mefarshim: a nazir represents a person, as we said at the beginning of our shir, who attained a certain level of kedusha. He's a nazir. Nazir means a crown. A nazir means a person who came to a higher level of kedusha. Teaches us the pasuk: the gila ha'nazir, the nazir is shaving his hair. The nazir is leaving his state of naziris. But pesach oil moyed, he should always remember he comes from the oil moyed. He should always remember that kedusha status that he had and take it along with him wherever he goes. And that's really the lesson that goes to every Jew. The gila ha'nazir, pesach oil moyed. We are in a yeshiva sometimes with Baruch Hashem, in a shul, or we're in a makom kadosh. V'gila chanozer pesach ha'el moed. Take those levels that we have with us wherever we go. Continues the Mishnah in discussing this process that the nazir undergoes as he goes further. Ha'yinoitl sar roish nizroi u'meshaleich tachstud. He took his hair and threw it under the fire where he's offering his korban shlamim. Now, first we discuss, why does the Mishnah use the wording v'shilach? It should have been said v'nosan tachas, put it under. Some explain because the word shilach is the proper word to teach us that for putting in a fire, as the parish says v'shilach es bi'ira, which means fire. Others say to teach us that the nazir doesn't have to himself throw the hair, it could be done through a shliach, and in fact some suggest that it should always be done by a shliach, because the halacha is that after one has a haircut, he has to wash his hair, and therefore they ask someone else to throw the nazir's hair under the fire so he could go to wash his hands. In Gilak of Medina, if he shaved his hair outside of Yerushalayim, like Mishalech Tachsadud, then this halacha of throwing the hair under the fire doesn't apply. Most Rishonim, Tosfos, the Rosh, and that will be the way we will learn the Mishnah and the Gemara, explain that if he's shaving Medina, he means outside Yerushalayim. If he shaves outside Yerushalayim, this halacha doesn't apply. And the simple reason is, as we explained earlier in this year, because when he shaves outside Yerushalayim, there's going to be an interruption between the shaving and putting the hair under the fire, which is not supposed to be, and therefore he should dispose of the hair where he cut his hair. Others explain that the dina means in Yerushalayim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah further, "Medvar amurim b'tarach satara." This was said where a nazir is completed his naziris properly. That's the process that he should put the hair in the fire under which he's cooking the korban shlamim. Av taglach satoma, if the nazir became tamei, that we learned in the previous year, he too must cut his hair. Lo yemishaleich tachsadud, he did not throw his hair beneath the path. Rather, wherever he was, that's where he disposes his hair. Remei oimer, hakom mishalchem tachsadud, all nazirim put the hair under the fire. The only exception is if the Nazir was Tameh, and he's shaving his hair outside of Yerushalayim. Explains the Yerushalmi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the reason, the explanation of Rabbi Meir's opinion is as follows. We have a concept of Roy, proper, and we have a concept of Samach, nearby. The Nazir Tar is always supposed to have his hair under the pot of the Karban Shlomim. So therefore, no matter where the Nazir Tar shaved his hair, it should be thrown under the pot of the Karban Shlomim. The Nazir Tameh doesn't have that thing. But by the Nazir Tameh, there's a different concept that comes into play. The concept of Samach, of nearby. And therefore, if the Nazir Tameh shaved his head in Yerushalayim, so he's near the Azara, so therefore he should have his hair burnt there. Somewhere else, not. Noitel Sarosh Nizra, says the Gemara, he takes his hair. Tanabonim. Vakach Noitel Sarotiv. Some of the gravy of the Karban Shlomim should be taken for Noisin Asar Roish Nizroi, and it should be put together with the hair. Umishalach Tach Saduch Shlomim, and all of this should be put under the pot in which the Shlomim is being cooked. Umishalach Tach Saduch Chatas for Asham, if he threw it under the pot which the Karban Chatas or the Karban Asham is being cooked in, Yotza, it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, we're referring to Nazir Tar. Asher ben Nazir Tar Miyika, does a Nazir Tar bring a Karban Asham? As we learned at the beginning of our shiur today, a Nazir Tar brings a Karban Chatas Oyla Shlomim. He doesn't bring a Karban Asham. Says the Gemara, Amarava Hachikama. This is the way to understand. The Nazir Tamei, if he's a Nazir Tamei, Mishalach Tachas Hadud Shal Asham, he should throw it under the pot in which the Karban Asham is being cooked, and with that, he's Yotza. Ask the Gemara, ask the Mefarshim, why does the Gemara use the word Yotza? That Yotza always means it's only acceptable b'diavad. Why is it only acceptable b'diavad? So the Mefarshim explain, because Rav is of the opinion that lechatchila, the hair of a Nazir Tamei should be buried, not be burnt, and therefore burning it is not really lechatchila. In fact, it may be also, we would think, because maybe it's considered having benefit. I may have benefit from the ash. I may be benefiting it because I'm able to make a bigger fire as the hair is being used as fuel. Teaches us Rava Yotza, but the evidence it's acceptable. Menani Mili, from where we know that it's acceptable, even if I didn't put it under the Karban Shlomim. Amarava, Amakra, Ashatachas, Zevach HaShlomim. How do we know that the gravy is mixed into the hair? Mezivcha Yetachtov. Part of the carbon, the gravy, should be included in the burning of the hair. V'mshilach Tachas Adut Shal Chatos. But we learned if he threw it under the carbon Chatos, Pat Yotza. My Tama, Amakra, the Pasuk uses the word Zevach, the Rabbi says a Chatas for Asham, to teach us that not only if he threw it under the pot of the Shlomim is it acceptable, but even if he threw it under the pot of the Karban Chatas and the Karban Asham, it's also acceptable. Ask the Gemara, how could he use the word Zevach to tell us that even if he threw it under the pot of the Chatas for Asham, it's acceptable? We use that word Zevach to teach us that he could use, that he has to mix in the gravy into the burning. Answers the Gemara, if the entire point of the Pasuk were just to teach us that we mix the gravy into with the hair, so the Pasuk should have said the word roitiv. What does it say? My Zevach. Why does the Torah use the word Zevach? Shmamina, to teach us, L'rabbis Chatas V'Asham, that even if he didn't throw it under the fire of the Shlomim, even if he threw it under the fire of the Chatas V'Asham, it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, V'emikul Chatas V'Asham Udasa, just the opposite. Perhaps say that the entire Pasuk is just coming to teach us that we can throw it under the pot of the Chatas V'Asham, and we won't know the limud that we include the gravy in the burning of the Karban Shlomim. Answers the Gemara, Imkein Leim Shlomim V'Zevach. If the entire point of the Pasuk was to teach us that we don't have to necessarily throw it under the pot of the Karban Shlomim, we could throw it also under the pot of the Chatas Asham, so the Pasuk should have used the word Shlomim Zevach. My Zevach HaShlomim. Why does the Torah use the word Zevach HaShlomim? Shema Minotarti, to teach us both halachas, the halacha that the roitiv is included in burning the carbon, in burning the hair, and that if we didn't use, if we didn't throw it under the pot of the Shlomim, we threw it under the pot of the Chatas V'Asham, it's also acceptable. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky in the Chazon Yecheskel brings an interesting machloikis. The Gemara just taught us that by Nozer Tomei, one can throw the hair under the pat of the carbon asham. What would be the halacha? Can one throw it under the pat of the carbon chatos? Because the carbon chatos that a Nozer Tomei brings is an oif, it's a bird, it's not an animal. So how are we to understand the Gemara? Are we to understand the Gemara that burning the hair under any carbon is acceptable, whether it's the carbon asham that this Nozer Tomei brings, or whether it's the carbon chatos that this Nozer Tomei brings, or are we to understand that only under the carbon asham, which a Nozer Tomei brings an animal as a carbon asham, is it acceptable to burn the hair? But under the pat of the carbon chatos, since it's not even an animal, it's an oif, it would not be acceptable to burn that hair of a Nozer Tomei. And as I said, the Chazon Yecheskel says that it's actually a machloikus. Says the Gemara, Tanar Abonim, Hakam Mishachim Taksadot, all Nazirim would put their hair under the pot, Chutz Mitomei Shigilich Medina. Only a Tomei, a Nozer Tomei, who shaved outside of Yerushalayim, he would not burn his hair, put his head in the pot, his hair under the pot. He, Neshasar Nikba, his hair is buried, Div Rameya, that's the opinion of Rameya. Hudaimer, Tairim, another Tar, Kamakanoi Mishalchim, it makes no difference where he shaved his hair, always throws his hair under the pot where the carbon shlam is being cooked. Tameyim, another Tamei, Kamakan Loya Mishalchim, would never have his hair thrown under the pot. The Chamayim, the Chamhol, Hakolayim Mishalchim Tachas Adud. No one would put their hair beneath the pot. Chutz min Atar B'Migdash, except the Nozer Tor, who shaved his hair in the base of Migdash. Neshinosk Mitzvosai, he fulfilled his mitzvah properly. He shaved his hair in the place that he's supposed to, in the base of Migdash. And he, and only he, has his hair put under the fire, under the Kabbalah Shlomim. No one else, according to the opinion of the Chachamim.